Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. The Healthcare Regulation Subcommittee is being called to order. Members, thank you, Representative Snyder, for showing some respect. Members, we're calling the committee to order. Sabrina, will you please call the roll?
Chair Salzman.
Here.
Representatives Burfield.
Here.
Bartleman.
Here.
Abbott.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Bell.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Franklin, excused. Humchowski.
Here.
Persons Mullica.
Here.
Renando.
Here.
Rudman.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Trabuzzi, excused. Quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. I want to remind everyone to please mute their cell phones. And we have three bills up today. The first bill up is HB 415, Pregnancy and Parenting Resources website by Representative Jacques. I apologize. I just got corrected. My boss just told me that Representative Kennedy is first. I apologize. HB 775, Surrendered Infants by Representative Kennedy. Ma'am, you are recognized.
Their infants to safely relinquish them at hospitals, fire stations, and emergency medical service stations. HB 775 expands the safe haven law by allowing the use of 911 to safely surrender a baby, which protects those without access to transportation. It extends the age that a newborn can be surrendered from 7 days to 30 days. And it provides that after hospital delivery, a parent can simply inform hospital staff that they don't intend to take the baby and can leave the baby safely in the nursery instead of having to, as current law requires, surrender in the ER. There is no fiscal impact to the state or revenues or state expenditures, and that, Madam Chair, is the bill.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? Any questions of the sponsors? Seeing no questions of the sponsor, do we have any amendments? No amendments. Wonderful. Any public testimony? We have Aaron DePietro from Florida Family Policy Council, and he is waving in support. All right, do we have any debate? No debate? No. Okay. And then I'm following the line here. Oh, Abbott. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Abbott. I thought he was correcting me again, but he was really telling me I didn't look up. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this great bill. I appreciate your passion for innocent infants and your compassion for birth mothers making the hardest decision of their lifetime. So thank you for bringing this bill forward and alleviating that some of those concerns and making it easier for them.
Any other members wishing to debate? Representative Rudman, you're recognized.
I withdraw my debate, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I thought you were going to play a tune for us. Okay. Seeing no further debate, Representative Kennedy, would you like to close on your bill?
Waive close, Madam Chair.
Having waived close, Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 775 and announce the vote.
Chair Salzman?
Yes.
Representatives Burfield?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Absolutely.
Abbott?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Franklin? Humchowski?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Renando?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Trabuzzi? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Congratulations. Show that bill recorded favorably. Next up, we really will have Representative Jacques with consideration of HB 415, Pregnancy and Parenting Resources website. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This great bill establishes a website for expecting parents. This website will contain critical resources for expecting parents and pregnant women. These services will include educational materials on pregnancy and parenting, maternal health services, prenatal and postnatal services, educational and mentorship programs for fathers, social services, financial assistance, and adoption services. All of these resources will be compiled into a conspicuous standalone website maintained by the state of Florida. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Having explained his bill, members, do we have any questions? Representative Bartleman, you are recognized.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for meeting with me. And I appreciate your intentions with this website. My question is the Department of Health already has a website with pregnancy that includes preconception health, prenatal care, tobacco use in pregnancy, high blood pressure and preeclampsia, umbilical cord banking, flu in pregnancy, healthy start, emergency preparedness for pregnant women, text for baby, prenatal hepatitis B, family health line, pregnancy and diabetes, after pregnancy, community involvement, Florida birth defects registry, MHCH block grant, MCH documents, Zika virus, and count the kids. It's incredibly comprehensive. That exists right now. So what is going to be different about your website?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ranking Member, for the question. The difference is this would be a standalone, conspicuous website. This current site that you reference is within the Department of Health's website and a tab, I believe. This would be a standalone website with its own URL where all this one-stop shop of resources would be available.
Follow up?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So do you need this has an expenditure with it. Any technology person could take this hyperlink and just make it its own URL. So what is going to be the difference? And then I'm going to have a follow-up about what's going to be on the site. So thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So again, the difference will be a standalone website with its own specific name that the department will develop through the rules, and will make it a much more streamlined way to access it. And so that is the thinking of this proposal, this bill, is to make sure that there's a standalone resource that contains everything that you named and more, as opposed to navigating the myriad of tabs within the Department of Health's website.
And I'll come back to me. I want to give other people, but I have some questions about what's going to be on it.
Representative Skidmore, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, thank you. I know we haven't had a chance to sit and chat about the bill, so maybe going forward we can carve out some time. But what's the decision-making process about what is included? Who's making the decisions about what's included and what's not included on the website?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. Well, first, it starts with us, right? The bill has some specific things that have to be included, and I'll go over them again. So educational materials on pregnancy and parenting, maternal health services, prenatal and postnatal services, educational and mentorship programs for fathers, social services, financial assistance, and adoption services. So those things are part of the text of the bill, which would be in effect into law if signed. It also says not limited to these services as well. So the department will have some flexibility to create rules as far as other items they can include as far as tabs. And so along the process, if there's something additional that you see that could be added, it could be potentially amended to the text of the bill. But for sure, these items will be included. And then the department will have flexibility to develop rules within the spirit of the text.
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what steps will be taken to ensure that the information is medically accurate information that is being put on the website?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. Well, the Department of Health will be responsible as the custodian of this website and for the information. They already have a responsibility to make sure that information regarding health for Floridians is accurate. And so I'm confident they will abide by their obligations as public health leads here for the state of Florida. And obviously, we as a legislature can use our oversight prerogatives to make sure that this is being abided by in a very accurate way.
Follow up.
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And understanding that the department would have authority and ability over this website, I'm curious about the links to other resources. So specifically, if we're going to have links to crisis pregnancy centers, is the department going to guarantee that the information on that website is medically accurate?
I feel like that question's been asked and answered. Do you have a different question?
No, ma'am.
Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and I appreciate you coming back to me. I just wanted to give somebody else an opportunity. So then my concern is with the need and the cost as well. Last year, the legislature put into statute a reoccurring $25 million to the Florida Pregnancy Care Network. $1 million of that is towards budgeting. Again, why did we do that this year, and why is this necessary? I mean, shouldn't that be part of an existing structure that we already have with taxpayer dollars?
I just want to remind you that this bill is going to go to healthcare appropriations next, so it should it pass this committee. So we'll be able to ask those questions then, but I'll recognize the member to answer your question.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So again, the funding for this will be for that specific development of this conspicuous standalone website. Obviously, there are other resources that the state engages in where funding has already been allocated. And this will certainly be considered as well. But this is an aggregate of all the state is already doing and what community partners are already doing here within the state of Florida to bring it all together. And that's what the cost here is involved.
Representative Hunchowski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to add on to one of the questions that was asked earlier about medical accuracy, I noticed here it says information on prenatal and postnatal services. Will that also include the recommended vaccines for newborns right after birth within 2 months and what that schedule would be?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. It will include anything that is accurate, that is relevant to prenatal and postnatal care.
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess that's where my question comes from, because there are different interpretations these days often in the medical field as to what is accurate. Right now, these vaccines are recommended. So will a recommended vaccine schedule also be included as part of the postnatal services?
I believe that question's been asked and answered. He's going to include, the bill includes what is currently on the site, and other things can be included at the discretion of the Department of Health. Am I correct?
You are correct,
ma'am. Do you have any further questions? Okay, wonderful. Any other questions, members? Seeing no more questions, we are in public testimony. We have Nancy Hawther with Florida PTA who waves in support. You can amend that momentarily. You can go ahead and head up to the podium. I also, while she's walking this way, I have Aaron DiPietro with Family Policy Council who is waving in support as well. So you're recognized to speak, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. We are waving in support of this bill, but in response to the members' questions, we will welcome, as this bill moves forward, taking a look and discussing any potential amendments that will be added in future committees to clarify some of the matters that have been raised. Thank you.
All right, now that we have closed public testimony, members, we are in debate. Do we have any members wishing to debate? Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
Yes. Madam Chair. I am. I know your intent. I'm concerned about taxpayer resources and time and staff when you can simply take a URL and move it and enhance it. So, and I'm also concerned about how it's going to counter the money we already invested in this same action. But we can discuss that in appropriations. What I would like to do going forward is work with you to, if you spend any time on the DOH website, it is awesome. It's under Women's Health, actually. And I can see your URL, but it covers everything. It has March of Dimes. Like, this is going to be, besides possibly adding your pregnancy crisis centers, which, you know, you could add that on the DOH site. And the adoption resource can be added to something that already exists. Also, there's nothing really about, we know that there's an issue with maternal health in minority women. That's not a mandatory in your bill. We know that that's a huge issue. It was a priority of our last speaker. You weren't here, but the death rates of Black women during and after pregnancy. So I would like to work with you on some possible amendments for your bill to include things. There's also no requirement for it to be in multiple languages, which is an issue, because there's a possibility that there may be no abortion in this state at one point. So everyone's going to have babies, and we need to make sure, we need to make sure that everyone gets resources, whether they speak the language or not. So I would prefer if you and I sit down again, and you are always available, and thank you so much, to go over some of these things, because I think those things added to your language is a great idea. But again, the cost is something that I'll address in the next committee, and I appreciate it. And thank you for bringing forward this idea. And I'll be up today.
Thank you, Representative Skidmore. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with many of the things that that Ranking Member Bartleman has referenced, specifically minority women health, minority women's health, and languages. I also am concerned about the duplication of effort here. I don't see that tabs on the Department of Health website are different than tabs on a conspicuous standalone website. Still going to be a lot of tabs because it's a lot of information. Curious about how this information is going to be distributed, how women and families will find out about this new website and where to go and how to get it. I think there are a lot of unanswered questions. I think your intent is one of, you know, just providing information to people. I do have concerns about what that information is, and that it is medically accurate information, and there's not any religious content or links to other things that are really not government related. They really should be specific to women's health. And so I do have some concerns. I believe that your intent is good, and I'm certainly going to support your bill today. But I do think that you need to make some things more clear for all of us to have a higher comfort level. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bell. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, I love your bill. I think it's going to be great. You know, if you think about when a woman goes to the hospital to have a baby, her and her husband, or maybe she's a single mom, has all intentions of having a wonderful life for this child. Something happens between birth and 3 years old. I'm not sure, you know, everything starts, you know, going in a spin. And so if you could go further on your bill to make sure that maybe there could be some type of mentoring program that people in the community would like to sign up on your website to mentor a young mother or young family. But I'm very supportive of your bill, and I appreciate you bringing it to us, and hopefully, you know, we will stop this epidemic of children that are lost. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Hunchowski. You're recognized in debate. Did I already? Oh, okay, sorry about that. And then we have Representative Snyder. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Jacques, for this great bill. You know, you continue to bring forth innovative solutions to some of the unique problems throughout the state, and it's fitting. The last meeting I had before we came into this committee was with our Healthy Start Coalition down in Martin County, and I, you know, just thinking back, I remember when our youngest daughter feels like just yesterday she was born. She's now three, but even in the modern era, you know, still you receive, you know, the mountains of paperwork, and we have so many resources that we continue to invest in. And I hear the concern, but I, in some ways, I think with, you know, how SEO works and with websites, and the more resources that we can continue to get in front of new parents, I think the better, because at the end of the day, you know, that's what it's about. It's trying to make sure that the resources that we continue to invest in, if people don't know how to find them, it's as if they're not even there. And so, again, applaud you on this great work, and I'll be up on the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Representative Rudman. Do you have any debate, sir? No debate? Okay. All right. And then we'll close it out with Representative Persons-Mullica. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this great bill. And members, as a mama who just had a baby 6 months ago, I could share and understand the moments of anxiety or feeling overwhelmed and having questions and seeking out answers. And, you know, you get on that Google and you search, search, and search. And we have so many resources and programs for expectant mothers, for mothers and fathers seeking adoption services, for new parents with young children, that it's so important that we get that information out to the community. You know, I see your bill as streamlining the process, as providing a one-stop shop where our families can seek the information they need, from pregnancy services to adoption resource and support to our new fatherhood programs, which I think are just incredible. And I'm so excited to hear how far we've already come on those. So I commend you, members. I ask you to support and vote up on this bill. And thank you, Representative, for bringing this forward. We continue to do great work to support Florida's families.
Thank you. Representative, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for the robust conversation and questions. Looking forward to working with any of you all and all on this important measure. You know, it was highlighted by Representative Snyder, the SEO, search engine optimization. And so it really matters when you have a standalone website that is conspicuous as opposed to a website within a website, right? And so this is what we want to do. We want to make sure that this is streamlined and that you do have that one-stop shop that makes it very easy for parents who are expecting parents who are overwhelmed by the process to let them know that the state of Florida stands with them during the pregnancy, at birth, and beyond. And with that, I close.
Having closed on this bill, Sabrina, will you please call the roll on HB 415 and announce the vote?
Chair Salzman?
Yes.
Representatives Burfield?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Abbott?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Franklin? Humchowski?
Yes.
Persons-Mullica?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Trabuzzi? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Show the bill recorded favorably. Congratulations. Before we hear our final bill, I'd just like to recognize a few people in the audience today. We have our pharmacist here, I believe. Is that correct? So if you need your COVID vaccines or whatever, thought that'd be funny. And behind them is a few key people in my life. So since I'm the chair, I get to take personal preference here and just welcome the doctor of the day, Dr. Brian Kirby, Florida's best rheumatologist. I'll say that every time. And then we have my husband, Philip Salzman, who is sitting here in the audience. I keep giving him eyeballs. And then next to him is Mark Zubeli, who is part of the Florida Trust, part of the group of people that brought together the 200th anniversary. So thank you for that. And thank you guys for visiting today. On that note, we will hear our final bill today, HB 1501, Healthcare Innovation, by Representative Gonzalez-Pittman. Representative, you are recognized to present your bill.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and thank you for hearing this, and members of the committee. Today, I am presenting HB 1501, Healthcare Innovation. The goal of this bill is to create a forum of innovators, developers, and healthcare system stakeholders harnessing the creativity and innovative spirit of Floridians. We know that the private sector, the free market, can innovate in ways that government could never imagine. What government can do is to facilitate the exploration and implementation of innovative technologies and delivery models and help make sure more Floridians have access to these innovations. This opportunity will broaden how and who is in the discussion and exploration of innovations and advances. It will develop best practices and will recognize the best of the best innovations and advances that can address today's challenges and transform the delivery and improve the quality of healthcare in our state. The bill creates a 15-member council consisting of leaders of our healthcare agencies, workforce, and private sector technology and finance that will meet across the state and lead this initiative. The council will be tasked with holding a public forums and exploring the range of effective, efficient, and economical technology and innovative solutions that can be implemented. It will annually recognize the most impactful concepts. It will be developing the best practice recommendations that will lead to continuous modernization of healthcare system and make the Florida system the nationwide leader in innovation, technology, and service. The bill creates a revolving loan program to assist healthcare entities to implement concepts highlighted and discussed by the council. The council will create focus areas and set the basis for eligibility criteria for loans, which will be used by the council to review and rank applications. Priority for receiving the loans is given to rural hospitals, nonprofits that serve Medicaid patients, and that are located in rural or medically underserved areas. A loan can cover up to 50% of the project's cost or up to 80% of the priority applicants. Loan terms are for 10 years, and the interest rate will be up to 1%. The Department of Health will the Department of Health will administratively support the council in its duties and help administer and implement the revolving loan program. The bill makes funding for the bill contingent on the General Appropriations Act, so I'll be working with Chair Garrison before the next stop. That's the bill. I just want to end my explanation with highlight of the goal of these activities. We want to increase efficiency in healthcare systems in the state, reduce the strain of the state's healthcare workforce, improve patient outcomes, expand public access to the healthcare services in the state, and reduce the cost to patients in the state without reducing the quality to our healthcare system. Thank you.
Members, having Representative present her bill, do we have any questions? That was a long explanation. Dr. Redmond? Representative, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative, for this bill. It's a good bill. I just had a question about the Healthcare Innovation Council that's created by your bill. Does it currently, or in your bill, would it have the authority to look back retroactively at policies that were thought to be innovative years ago that were enacted by the state at that time and maybe update their recommendations on those policies?
You're recognized. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it can. Follow-up? No. Representative Redmond, you have a follow-up? Awesome. Representative Skidmore, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the explanation of the bill. I'm curious about the loan program, and it seems like it's different than like the loan repayment program for medical student loans, where the student has the loan and they make the payment and then it's repaid. So how does the Department of Health provide a loan with interest rate and not be a bank and not have those same regulations? I'm assuming there's other precedent, but I'm unaware.
You're recognized.
Thank you. The Department of Health is authorized to hire a third-party administrator to administrate the loans.
Representative, you want follow-up? Sure, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And one other question on the loan. You said up to 1%. So are there some loans that would be 0%, or is the council determining what the rate of interest would be per applicant?
You're recognized.
At this time, yes, the council will be determining that.
Recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so not the third-party loan administrator. They're not making the determination on the interest rate.
You're recognized.
I'll get back to you on that.
And Representative Bartleman, you're recognized for questions.
First, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd like to thank the representative for coming to my office and sitting with me. And she got to see all the pictures of my dogs, which was wonderful. There are really great things about this bill. You have a great accountability piece for conflict of interest. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. And I don't know if you could strengthen the language. Where's the accountability if the loan is not used for their intended purpose? I don't see that in the bill for the follow-up to make sure they used it correctly. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you. This is something that I am working with the staff on. I would like to see a formative evaluation so that we can start collecting data and making sure that people are using the loan appropriately for what they say that they will be. We might not be looking at outcomes right away, but we can look at processes are being handled.
Follow up.
Thank you. I'm so excited to hear that. And my second question for you just goes into, and thank you, Madam Chair, goes into when you look at the what it can be used for, it says it has to do with, it's in the bill. The summary didn't put this, but it actually can be used for workforce, but not just education of workforce, but it appears to be open to hiring workforce. Is that the intent? Because then you're using one-time money for reoccurring expenses.
You're recognized.
I believe if the council wants to use it for healthcare or hiring workforce, they will deem it and make sure that it follows. Remember, they're going to be setting the criteria for applications.
Seeing no further, absolutely. Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In respect to when you're working with staff, I was wondering if you could ensure that specific terms of the loan agreements be standardized so that people know we have a clear set of guidelines on that. So is that something you're open to?
You're recognized.
Yes.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, we have some people waving in support. Leslie Doogie from Bio Florida, waving in support, and Melody Arnold from the Florida Association of Community Health Centers, waving in support. Members, we are in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Vice Chair, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this piece of legislation forward. I think it's always exciting to see when we take more of a visionary approach to look at the strategies as to how we can address a industry that's evolving at such a high speed. I would also share with the committee part of why I'm in support of this piece of legislation. I know in the past that the Department of Health has administered programs similar to this, such as the Florida Tobacco Free Florida. They have taken and hired a third-party administrator. That third-party administrator has set metrics based on the directions provided by the board, and those accountability measures have been put into place to ensure that we can have a level of confidence. So I thank you for this exciting new approach to an industry and a challenge that continues to face not only us as legislators, but our state as well.
Thank you. Representative Honchowski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, appreciate the intent of this bill. There's a lot of good stuff in here, and we should be proactive and innovative to make sure that we are delivering the best possible health outcomes in the state of Florida. I do have some concerns about some of the language regarding the DOH with rulemaking authority, being able to adopt emergency rules and things like that that I'm happy to talk to you about. But overall, I appreciate what you're doing with this, and I think with some little technical changes, it'll be absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Rudman, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative, for this good bill. I will be voting up on your bill. But like other people have said, I also want to maybe give a caveat out there. We all want to be innovative. We all want to deliver more efficient health care. I know I certainly do. But I think we need to be careful that sometimes being innovative does not necessarily equal more efficiency. And so that was the genesis, that was the origin of my question to you earlier. There have been policies enacted by previous administrations, you know, previous legislatures, that I would like to go back and revisit policies that at the time might have seemed innovative. But, you know, when you talk to some of these foot soldiers that are out here on the front lines of medicine, we have several out here in the audience, you know, ask them if those recommendations actually made them more efficient. So specifically, like you say, when this Innovation Council has this authority to look back, I personally would like them to look back at our policies regarding electronic medical records. I know I get new patients at my office all the time from other offices. Used to be when you requested someone's chart, it would be this thick. Now it's about this thick. So I'd like us to go back and maybe revisit those policies. And another policy that I think would be worthwhile for the council to look at would be our policy regarding electronic prescribing for controlled substances. As you know, this is your field, this is your space. As you know, those policies were originally enacted because of the OxyContin crisis that this state had and many other states had. Unfortunately, when the rules were put into place, it didn't cover only OxyContin. It actually covered lots of things that you and I would think were pretty trivial. So now, for example, when a patient of mine needs an Ambien prescription, I have to stop what I'm doing. I have to run to the back office. I have to go to one certain computer. The computer has to recognize that it's Dr. Rudman on the computer and not a staff member. In other words, it has to, you know, verify my identity. And it takes about 5 or 10 minutes to send in one simple prescription for Ambien. So, again, I'm glad to hear that they do have the ability to look back at those sorts of policies. And that's why I'm going to be voting up on your bill. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Any further debate? Oh, Representative Skidmore, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry I'm so chatty today. Thank you for this good bill. There are lots of really good things in here. There are some cautions, too, as well, when you have a 15-member panel. I'm glad that there are physicians that will be on the panel. I think that it's important that there is that cross-section. But I do think that we have to make sure that the power that this panel has stays appropriate within that that group of people. And as of course everyone knows, I'm always concerned about scope of practice issues, and I want to make sure that innovation doesn't necessarily mean that people can do things that they are not necessarily trained to do and we're not trained to do. I'm encouraged by the organizations that are supporting the bill today, BioFlorida and the community health centers. I think that that's really important that you have the research folks that are, you know, really on the cutting edge, supportive of this, as well as the people who are providing a good amount of health care to people who are underserved. So well done, and looking forward to working with you on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Gonzalez-Pittman, would you like to close on your bill?
I waive close.
Ooh, having waived close, Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 1501, and I'm going to go eat lunch.
Chair Salzman?
Yes.
Representatives Burfield?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Abbott?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Cheney? Franklin? Humchowski?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Renando?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Trabuzzi? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, if you have a chance today, go swing by our staff director Krista's office and wish her a happy birthday today. Having said that, we will close. This meeting is adjourned. Okay, we can by motion that Representative. Okay.